1996 Sunstone Symposium presents session number 174, a play, Hydrogen Bond, by playwright David G. Pace and director Fran Pruin.
Hi, we'd like to welcome you to, is it 174? Is that the session number today? My name is David Pace. This is a reading of a play that I have written. It's entitled Hydrogen Bond. And it runs. It's going to be running long, so please be aware of that. We are going to be going into the dinner hour. It's going to be close to 2 hours. So if you need to leave, be prepared. There is a 5-minute break in between Act 1 and Act 2. So I'd like to introduce Fran Pruin, who is the Artistic Director of TheaterWorks West here in Salt Lake City. Fran has been a prominent fixture in the theater community here for 20 years. Yeah. And she has agreed to pull a cast together for this reading, which is the first reading of this play. So, Fran.
These things are scary to me. Very, very briefly, a couple of notes about the play that we'd be reading today. The first is there are a number of hymns that undoubtedly will be familiar to most of you, but were not necessarily familiar to all the members of our cast. As a result, we will be reading the lyrics as they are somewhat changed as well. Additionally, as David told you, the show runs about 2 hours. We'll take a 5-minute pause between Act 1 and Act 2. Acts 2 and Act 3 are roughly about the same time, same running length as Act 1. Finally, in addition to naming the cast here, which I will do, we will be doing another reading of this show on Saturday night at the Wooden Dog. The Wooden Dog is an entertainment cafe in Trolley Square, probably best known to all of you as the old Trolley Theaters. We invite you to come, or if you'd like to drop by afterwards, we'll have a discussion with the playwright. And because we'll be running long tonight, so it might give you an opportunity Saturday evening to chat about the show if you don't have time this evening to catch David in the hall. Very quickly, let me tell you who the cast is. This is Jim Martin, Mary Bishop, Brad Slocum, Brandy Balkin, who will be reading stage directions and keeping us on track, Raymond Hoskin, Roger Reynolds, Charla Brink-Peter, Jeff Owen, and Melanie Olmsted. Thank you.
'93 Polish Town near Boston, interchoir to the tune of Behold the Royal Army.
Behold our great statistics. What do we have to fear? We're clearly now in better shape than we were just last year. Just look at all our converts who join the growing throng. We baptize, oh so many, our methods can't be wrong. Counting sheep, we look so good statistically. It's nothing to condemn. Counting sheep is so much easier than feeding all of them. Behold our great connections, they're growing day by day. We've got some boys in Congress, and we clobbered ERA. We nearly reached our goal to stand proud on our home sod and dictate our commandments to Washington and God. Influence, influence, we look so good politically. Influence, influence, we can't afford the price. Influence is so much easier than making sacrifice.
Bishop addressing a congregation.
Welcome, brothers and sisters. I am Bishop Dick Jensen, and I'll be conducting the services today. It's that time of the month, or rather, well, you know what I mean. It's the first Sunday of the month, fast and testimony meeting. I can hear those stomachs growling out there. That's good. Going without food or fasting, that shows that we are willing to submit the pleasures and needs of the flesh to the worship of our Heavenly Father. So before I turn the time over to the membership and their erotic priesthood, we'll be passing around microphones, if you'll just stand up where you are, before I turn the time over to for your testimonies. I feel that I should bear mine just to get things started.
beyond the shadow of a doubt.
I know that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the true Church.
Beyond the shadow of a doubt.
I know that the Lord loves each and every one of us, and that He wants to bless us with everything He has, if we will but keep the commandments.
Beyond the shadow of a doubt.
I know that Joseph Smith restored the gospel to the earth in 1830. That as a 14-year-old boy, he prayed for the truth and literally saw God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Beyond the shadow of a doubt.
I know that he translated the Book of Mormon from the gold plates. That is the scripture. That it is scripture. The most correct book of any book on the face of the whole earth.
Beyond the shadow of a doubt.
I know that President Ezra Taft Benson is a prophet, seer, and revelator in these latter days.
Beyond the shadow of a doubt.
And that he and the other general authorities, our leaders, would never lead the church astray.
Beyond the shadow of a doubt.
I love my wife Doris and my sweet, obedient children. I know that our family is sealed together for time and all eternity. Sealed in the sacred house of the Lord, the temple. Nothing else in the world makes any sense. Just the gospel. Just the Church of Jesus Christ. How grateful I am for my knowledge of the gospel. How lucky we should all feel. I pray for all of you, brothers and sisters. I love you. All of you. I can truly say that. I am so grateful to be serving as your bishop. I hope that we can all endure to the end. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Time is yours now, brothers and sisters, to share your testimonies with us. As a reminder, please be brief. Remember, no travelogues.
Church foyer, enter Ian, then Tyler.
Ian, sloughing fast in testimony meeting?
Sort of.
Rudy said the Philmont was a blast.
No, we had a good time.
I keep telling Rudy that if he drowned, he wouldn't be going around telling us about it.
Gave us a real scare, and we hadn't even been in camp for 2 hours.
And we've got to get him into swimming lessons this summer. And teaching gospel doctrine this morning? We missed you last week.
Actually, no. I won't be teaching anymore.
No kidding. They released you?
Right.
Too bad. You're the best gospel doctrine teacher the Lord has ever had.
Thanks. I'm going to miss it.
I guess the new bishopric's already shaken up the ward here. It's kind of weird to think that Dick's been called as a bishop. I mean, one day he's getting beat at racquetball by the both of us, and the next day he's Bishop Jensen.
It happens fast.
Yeah, well, I feel sorry for the poor guy. Teaching at the high school like that, coaching, and there's 7 kids.
You know, maybe it's true what they say. If you really want to get something done in the church, you ask the busiest person.
So, what have they got you doing now that you're not teaching? Don't tell me you're the new high priest group.
No, nothing.
So what's up, Ian? I mean, I know it's not really any of my business.
Our new bishop, he just handed me this letter.
A letter?
A formal letter. It seems that the stake president is concerned about me.
Concerned about what?
Remember that paper I showed you about 2 weeks ago?
Sure.
I guess he feels that it may have crossed a line.
How did the stake president get a hold of it?
I have no idea.
You don't think that the GAs are still instigating this stuff, do you?
Why not? They did last fall. Anyway, the bishop, Dick, he's not sure, but he might have to hold a disciplinary council.
My gosh. The old court of love, huh? I can't believe this. What's the charge?
Well, he's going to have to interview me first. That's what he said in the letter.
Dick's not ready for this. He's been a bishop less than a month.
Well, it's just not that, Tyler. He doesn't really know the first thing about, well, what I wrote in that paper.
Well, what do you mean?
Biblical scholarship. He's a good man, I believe that, but he's a high school economics teacher who coaches the swimming team. He doesn't have any background in this.
It's going to be about obedience, Ian, not scholarship.
Obedience? To whom? You know obedience is not just a freestanding commandment.
Obedience to authority.
Whose authority?
Well, his, of course.
Well, that's still a little bit too freewheeling, if you ask me. This isn't Jonestown.
Oh, come on, Ian, that's not fair. We're not all going to be asked to drink Kool-Aid laced with cyanide.
Oh, no? Well, tell that to the 6 who got nailed last September. 2 of them, Tyler, were colleagues of mine when I was at BYU.
They were excommunicated because they were a threat. Now, what I heard was they were undermining other people's faith. Who else knows what they were doing?
Well, these papers I write, they're an academic exercise. I'm a 6th-generation Mormon. I have no investment in hurting the church. Do you feel undermined by me?
What?
Well, you have a testimony. Am I undermining it?
No, but See, you and I, we shoot the bullion, you know. Privately discussing it is one thing, but going public with your criticism.
Not criticism. An educated perspective, maybe, but not criticism.
When you left Brigham Young.
When I was chased out of Brigham Young.
Okay, chased out of there. You knew that you weren't exactly a traditionalist.
And that BYU was no place for someone who wasn't. I was actually okay with that, but this...
Hold up the letter.
It's about my church membership.
All I know is that I'm glad that I'm bumping a word processor at the sports desk, and I'm not a professor of biblical and Hebrew studies.
I don't want to be just one more in a purge.
You're not going to get excommunicated. You're the most prominent Mormon scholar on the Eastern Seaboard.
Maybe you could help.
What do you mean?
Well, I can't just take this lying down. Maybe people should know about what's going on. You're a journalist.
Now, wait a minute. I'm just a sports writer. NFL drug busts and baseball strikes, that's what I write about, not Mormon troublemakers.
You mean apostates? Do you really think that I'm an apostate?
Not any more than I am, I guess. It's just
that I'm dumb enough to speak up.
Ian, you got to listen to yourself. Now, you left BYU under a cloud. You were considered then to be on the margin. Now you're trying to change the rules. It's like you're moving the foul line 5 yards to the left, and when you get a flag thrown...
No, not just a flag. My faith is being challenged.
Well, Sal told me about what happened at your women's meeting.
Debbie?
How she lost it with the high councilman.
Brother MacIver was slamming homosexuals, calling them degenerates. I know, she stormed out. My daughter has strong opinions.
Well, I was just thinking that maybe... Now, don't take this wrong. Maybe Debbie's problem...
You think she's got problems?
Maybe her spirit of contention, okay? Maybe it's just one more indication that you've got to pull it in for a while, Ian. You've got to believe that these men, even a high school swimming coach, are inspired. The church knows what's right for us. It's true.
Inspired is one thing, but what about capable?
Pray about it, Ian. I'm saying this as your friend. I know that this seems unfair, but you have to be humble.
It's happening all over again.
What's that?
When Jane and I left BYU, we were, what should I call it, admonished by a general authority to view our church membership as a privilege.
Well, maybe it is.
I was told not to lecture anymore to anyone on the Book of Mormon or Mormon theology, so I stopped. I got a job back here, dove into ancient Christian studies. So after a while, I'm feeling more and more mainstream. In short, I took the counsel of my leaders, right? I deferred to them because I trusted them, and I believed that they were inspired.
They did the right thing.
Funny thing is, it made me feel that I was okay again, that I was worthy to start thinking and writing about things that I thought really mattered. My own faith, and then this.
Raises the letter.
Out of the blue, I feel as though I have to protect myself from my church and my church from me, and it's something I love. So no, I'm not so sure I did the right thing.
All I'm saying is that there's a time for everything. Now, right now, you need to show a little discretion.
Don't you mean silence? No one really benefited from it last time I shut up. No one, Tyler. Not the rest of the church membership. That everyone seems so worried about, and least of all me.
Your son, Jamie, he's going to be 12 pretty soon.
So?
And you want to be able to ordain him to the priesthood, right? So that he can be called, maybe, as a bishop someday. Getting the priesthood at 12, that's a big deal for him and for you, of course. You've got to hang on to that. Hang on to it. This will all work out. You're going to be fine.
But what if...
It's not going to happen.
If it does, can I count on you?
How did a sports writer and a Hebrew scholar ever get to be?
Maybe we just moved into the same ward.
Exit, Tyler.
Praise us to whom all blessings flow. Bless us, your favorites here below. Praise us above the heavenly host. We are the ones you praise the most.
Grunge or loud alternative music slams into the final strains of the above. Debbie enters, her midriff showing.
I told him that if the church couldn't tolerate gays and lesbians, that I didn't want to be a Mormon, okay? Betty's mom is a lesbian, Dad, and I like her. She's got this incredible spirit about her. She loves everyone except bigots. Just once, I'd like her to have a run-in with MacIver.
Brother MacIver.
He was dissing my friends in public, not just Betty's mom, and it's not like he was being, you know, discreet about it. Not that being discreet about your hate crimes is okay, but he was embarrassing himself, not to mention his daughter, who was there.
What did he say exactly?
It's not even what he said. That's not the problem. It's his attitude. He comes waddling in there, calling us handmaidens of the Lord. Save yourself for temple marriage. Don't tempt the boys. They have to be worthy to go on their mission. It's like going through primary every year with this guy, and I'm almost 17.
Is it true that you called him names?
What?
Well, Sister Walker said you called Brother McIver names.
Sister Walker has body odor.
Debbie.
And she makes us bear our testimonies, even when we don't want to. She lied. I only called him one name.
Uh-huh. Did you use the A word?
Sort of. The F and the A word.
What?
Well, you know, the noun preceded by the adjective.
I don't get it.
Dad, you're so naive sometimes, and you have a PhD.
Well, what do you mean the adjective? You mean you said the F word?
I think they call it the progressive form. You know, ing, the F word, progressive form, then the A word.
No, I think I get it. That wasn't very nice.
Well, I'm tired of being nice. Are you mad at me?
I think I'm mad at the situation.
So what should I have done, Dad? Just sat there? I mean, if I was into dis and everything, I'd go become a born-againer somewhere. What he calls perverts, well, some of them are my friends. I mean, one of them is Betty's mom. I like her. She's really cool.
I don't know what you should have done, Deb. I'm sorry it happened.
It's not like I meant to hurt you, Dad. Like, embarrass you?
Are you kidding? Every dad wishes he had a leather-clad grunger into body piercing for a daughter.
Hey, I only got one in my belly button. You know, I have friends who have...
I don't think I want to know where else your friends are pierced. Are you happy?
Yeah, I guess. Are you?
Well, I'm doing what I want to and what I need to. In a way, I guess that's happiness, my little handmaiden of the Lord.
Oh, I don't know. It's not such a bad thing, I guess. I mean, to be pure and holy and feminine and all that. It's just that there are so many things I want to do. So many things I want to be. I want to be smart and beautiful and caring and desirable. Like Mother Teresa, but with a hard body.
Isn't that a television show?
It means you're in shape, Dad. Fit like perfection, inside and out. A saint inside, but Madonna on the outside. That sounds crazy, but I want to be all of it.
You will, honey, you will.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Just don't use the progressive form of the F word, followed by the A word to your high councilman. That's not okay.
Exit Ian and Debbie. Enter Jane. Jane at the computer.
Abort. Retry. Ignore.
Oh, crap.
Why does that happen? Abort. Retry. Ignore. Okay. Retry. There. Back in business. Control F6. And option 3, justification? Justification.
Coming through the manual.
Page 160.
Reads.
Justification keeps the right margin even by adjusting the spacing between printed characters.
Pushes a couple of buttons.
Oh, I see. Okay, I know what that means. Mom! F8. Okay, control F8. Font.
Mom!
In here, honey! Font. Baptismal font? No.
Enter Jamie.
Mom, you were going to pick me up today, remember?
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. What time is it?
4 o'clock, Mom.
Oh, 4 o'clock. Oh, my gosh, dinner. Ian, where's Debbie?
I don't know.
To the roast. It's got a thaw. Jamie, call your sister. Tell her to come down here and give me a hand.
She's not here.
Where is she?
Mom, Debbie is way older than I am. Do I always have to keep track of her?
I was just wondering where she was.
I think she's down at Heather's. I saw her scooter down there on the way home.
How'd you get home?
Richie's mom. She drove me. Did you know that Heather's boyfriend parks his car on the front lawn? They all do. Want the computer off?
Yeah, I guess. Actually, I don't know how to turn it off.
Don't you know anything? You're in WordPerfect, right?
Doesn't seem so perfect to me.
So you push exit.
Okay.
Well, then it says save document.
Okay.
Well, do you want to save it?
Save it where?
Never mind.
Jamie saves it, then turns off the computer.
There. It's off.
I think I'm going back to my typewriter. It's more, I don't know, tangible.
Shoot yourself.
Honey, I think it suits yourself. You know, like Daddy's Sunday suit?
I like shoot yourself better.
You know, I think I do, too. It's more forceful.
Phone rings. I got it.
Damn computer.
Mom, it's for you, Sister Kavner.
Hello, Dory. Fine, thanks. Just trying to get the computer to figure me out. Now that Mitchell's on his mission, Jamie's my new pro, but I'm on my own when he's at school. What's up? Oh, sure, I'll be there. No, what? Oh, well, Dory, don't worry about it. Much ado about nothing. Well, it isn't the first time. That's why we left BYU, you know. Yes, it was sad. Mm.
She whispers to Jamie.
Pot roast! Freezer!
To the phone.
Uh-huh.
To Jamie.
Pull it out for me, hon.
Exit Jamie.
Well, Dory, the truth is maybe not as battened down as we think. You know, nailed down.
Enter Ian.
Right, Well, listen, Ian just walked in, and I've got to go. I'll be there Thursday. A salad. What kind? Oh, easy enough. Okay, bye.
To Ian.
That was Dory Kavner, trying to get the scoop on Ian Flanders' letter from the bishop. Maybe I should have just read it to her.
No, I thought she was a pretty close friend to you.
I guess she is. As close as anyone in the ward. When you're in the Relief Society presidency, you're bound to get close. Friendship by proximity.
Any mail?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Your wife, Jane. Where are you?
Sorry, just a lot on my mind, you know.
You've got to let me share this with you, Ian.
You will. You and the kids. You already are.
Did you talk to Reuben today?
Oh, he doesn't understand. Even when I told him things were heating up last fall. 4 years, he says. 4 years, and it's like talking to an Armenian on what it's like to be an Armenian in Syria. I don't know. He keeps asking where Utah is.
He's joking.
Well, he sees it as somewhere between Chicago and Las Vegas.
That's ridiculous.
Well, he's a Brit, you know.
That's still no excuse, Ian. Mormonism is a world religion. You teach in a department of religion. They hired you partly because of your work in Mormon studies.
Well, what can I say? How can you explain to someone about the church when they don't even know where Utah is?
Maybe he has a point, huh? Where is Utah? It's like somewhere in the past. BYU. That awful sense of suddenly, without warning, being on the outside. Just because of an idea.
Because of my ideas.
Because of anyone's ideas, Ian. You know that. Anyone's ideas that... Oh, I can't start this. It'll ruin my pot roast. Ruin our dinner.
Jane...
And ruin breakfast and lunch and the next decade of messing with meals. There you have it. A new Mormon cookbook from the Sisters of the Boston Steak. Messing with meals. Do you think Deseret Book would be interested? Ian... I've got to go back to work.
Work?
I have got to get away from this.
From what?
It's everywhere. When I drive down Storo Drive, in the saucepan, for goodness sakes. When I turn on the weather channel and look at a storm moving onto that little square with Wyoming taking a bite out of it. Maybe they'll release me from the presidency if I tell them I'm going back to full-time work. Jamie's almost 12 now. He doesn't need me at home as much. Just master the stupid computer. I could do most of it at home.
I don't think you'll have to do that.
Go back to work?
No, I talked to Bishop Jensen today. He called me at the office. Said that maybe it would be best if, under the circumstances, that they released you from the Relief Society. At least until this blows over.
Dick called you to release me from my church job?
I'm the priesthood holder, Jane.
I know that! But when do I have anything to say about it?
I'm sorry.
Don't. Don't say that. I won't have that. This isn't your fault. We've already moved once to get away from the sleeping giant. Left my mother in that tiny apartment all by herself. Guess we didn't move far enough. The general authorities are just operating out of fear. I can understand that. They're control freaks. They can't do this to you, Ian. They're to lie about it. To deny that they initiated. It's absurd. Dick is your friend. You play racquetball with him. To make him do Elder Peters' dirty work. It's unconscionable.
Well, we don't know that Elder Peters had anything to do with
this. Maybe not. But someone in Salt Lake did. Someone in the know enough to pressure your bishop. No. Your stake president and then your bishop to call you on the carpet.
Still, I have to work through him. That's the program.
What does Dick Jensen know about the history of theological discourse? The Christology of St. Francis of Assisi.
Jane.
The two Isaiahs. The
honey,
even Mormon stuff. Has he even cracked open the Journal of Discourses? Boy, that'd crinkle his garments.
Jane.
It's not fair, Ian. I have three children, one in Italy on a mission. You can't expect me to feel dispassionate about my husband's excommunication.
We don't know about that.
The handwriting, Ian, it's all over the wall. Six of your colleagues, including Chip Daniels, were excommunicated last September because of what they've published. It's like the Inquisition.
Inter Debbie.
We don't know if that's the verdict for me, not yet.
Why are you cutting them so much slack? You know as much as anyone just how chilly the climate is, even out here away from Salt Lake.
I'm aware of the climate, Jane. Listen, I get as crazy about this as anyone. I knew that Chip's research on polygamy was going to shock, but it was the truth. His documentation is scrupulous, and he's orthodox. He believes in a literal first vision of Joseph Smith.
Yeah? Which of six versions? Sorry, I couldn't resist.
My point is that I was just as rocked by the purges last year as you. But me, I don't work for BYU anymore. And, well, I feel that all of this, this pushing the outside of the envelope, it was bound to happen, sort of like my destiny.
Holy cow. You've been reading too much about Christian martyrs, Ian. I am not going to feel better just because you're being crucified for some higher cause.
Jay notices Debbie.
Debbie, you're back.
Hi.
How was school?
Bitchin'.
Debbie turns to leave.
Mom, your mascara's running.
Exit Debbie, then Ian and Jane.
My fellow women are aging. We can't keep them in their place. They'll soon be demanding the priesthood, addressing us face to face. We can no longer command them. They want their equal rights. Without the humble women beneath us, how can we ascend the heights? Your clamoring, yammering can't go on. Please, be still. We give you children to raise for us, and lads to express praise for us. And when you're unsatisfied sexually, we say it's no worse than polygamy. We counsel you with propriety to repent and content yourself with the least society. And you be still.
Ian in lecture.
It's not simply a matter of adoption. We know very little about the primitive Christian church, but we do know that it co-opted surrounding cultural trappings almost immediately. In my view, there was even a theological precedent for it. It was Jesus who alludes to his mission as being the fulfillment of Jewish law, not simply the abandonment of it. So it makes sense that after the Apostle Paul's vision of the universal church, converts brought their cultural and religious baggage with them. They saw Christianity as the fulfillment of their own, shall we say, quote-unquote, pagan spirituality. So not only did the new church have an impact on the convert, but the convert had an impact on the church. Remember that Paul was a bit of a control freak. He was always warning about false doctrines creeping into the faith. His New Testament letters to various churches in and around Asia Minor are correctives to that effect.
Tyler appears in a pool of light. Ian actively listens to him.
How did a sports writer and a Hebrew scholar ever get to be friends? Now, I got to thinking about all this secrecy over who's actually instigating this, making Dick some fall guy. Anyway, I talked to an editor. Oh, boy, I hope I don't regret this. She said that she was going to send a reporter out Wednesday to interview you about the court. And, of course, Dick got to hear both sides, right? Sal's none too happy about the whole thing. She said that I shouldn't be poking around in confidential matters. If Dick ever found out I was acting as your ad hoc publicist, well, you know, he might feel like he had to call me in as well. Which reminds me, Ian, I don't know that anyone needs to know about this interview we've set up. This is your battle. I'm just setting up the gridiron for you. Or the court. The basketball court, that is. Sorry, bad joke.
Ian in lecture.
The great Christian reformers, like Jesus, were all products of their own age. That is the human element to religion that humanists have championed, held in awe. It's the uneasy union of the human and the divine that becomes the civilizing force that is the subject of this course. To understand modern religious movements, then, we have to continually weigh and season new developments with what we know of the evolutionary past.
Dear Dad, I've just been assigned to Pavia, a little town just outside of Milano. And no, I'm not getting sick of Italian ices yet, even if they are the one vice here for us missionaries. President and Sister Taylor have Elder Clark and me over once in a while since we're zone leaders. Elder Clark keeps teasing me that I'm being groomed to become President Taylor's new assistant. I don't know what I think about that. The elders in our zone are all really hard workers. Oh yeah, we have two sisters in our zone too. They're teaching more people than all of us. It's a little humiliating. Tell Grandma that I hope she's feeling better. Those dry Utah winters can be deceptively cold. We're all trying to get our numbers up for this quarter. I think we might have two baptisms in the zone before the end of March. It's pretty cold over here. I think we should convert everyone to central heating first, then to the restored gospel. Arrivederci.
Ian in lecture.
Religions adapt. Even religions adapt. They often do this by reinterpreting things. Their rituals, for example. In Christianity, the host was viewed as the literal flesh of Christ at first, but later on, it became for some simply a symbol of his flesh. Wars are fought over such changes. But always, out of the confusion, something interesting always happens. The powerful impulse to believe reemerges. It refuses to die, and that's the lifeblood of the church, what keeps it going. Change.
Liberal saints love toleration. Toleration is the key. They can tolerate defection, error, and hypocrisy. They allow almost all persuasions and permit all kinds of speech, save for those distinct occasions when one has the truth to preach.
Enter Jane. Jane bowed in prayer, wrote at the beginning.
Dear Father in heaven, dear Heavenly Father, I come before thee with a heart full of gratitude for my blessings, for Ian and the kids, for Mama. I can't do this. Dear Father in heaven, it's been a while since I've come before thee in prayer, since I've asked thee for anything. I can do this. I know that I need charity and patience. Hello? I don't know. I do know that you're there, that you're here, that we're here together by the simple fact that I've addressed thee. Oh, dear God, everything seems to be falling apart for me. Where are you, Lord?
Jane looks closely at her fingernails.
Dear God, Janie, Alma, what happened to your nails?
Clasps her hands in prayer.
What happened to my nails? And what happened to thy nails? Do you have any nails? Dost thou havest any nails?
Jane gets up defeated.
Why can't you just give us a prayer to chant over and over like the Catholics? We need to be able to just zone in and zone out. Anything would be better than this mental construction of a prayer. I don't need to pray my mind. I need to pray my soul. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Enter Ian and Bishop. The bishop and later the president are never aware of Jane's and later Tyler's presence in the following scene.
Oh, and Ian, I'm sure you know by now that he's in trouble. We're in trouble.
Bishop acknowledging Ian.
Ian?
Jane stands.
Why are you doing this?
Bishop?
Did you warm up with a little racket ball, or did you just cut to the chase?
I've asked to have the state president handle this.
Ian to Jane.
He deferred to President Harp.
Great.
It's really procedure, Ian, because you're a high priest.
Jane to Ian.
And because you have such a high profile. Did he say that?
And to tell you the truth, I'm relieved. You're a good man, Ian. Not to mention one heck of a racquetball player.
We've been friends for a long time, Dick. Our daughters, they were best friends for years.
Yes?
Can you vouch for me?
I'm really stuck between a rock and a hard place, Ian. I wasn't supposed to tell you about the phone call from Salt Lake.
What phone call?
You know, the one from Elder Peter's secretary. I mean, didn't I tell you?
No, but I figured that, considering the others in Utah.
Oh, boy. Well, I guess now I did tell President Harp the truth. Anyway, that's one of the reasons why President Harp is now handling this.
So you're going to go on record as agreeing with whatever his judgment is? You know what that will probably be, don't you? He's got his marching orders from Salt Lake. You know my heart, Dick.
I'm not the one on trial here. I don't have any choice.
Jane to Ian.
Surprised?
Ian
no,
to Jane.
No comment.
Jane to Ian.
I'm so glad the state president is a retired colonel. His whole life scaring the crap out of enlisted men has prepared him for this one moment. That's obvious.
It's our structure, Jane. We have a lay clergy. It's part of our tradition.
Tradition? You make it sound like this is our version of a cardinal council or the Jewish Sanhedrin. This is business ethics, Ian. Kind of like military intelligence.
Enter President Brother Carmichael with Brother Vogel. Ian acknowledging him.
President?
Ian, come right in. I'm just jotting down a few things here. I'll be right with you.
James, Ian.
You call this a tradition? I call it the multi-level marketing of religions. It's like Amway in cheap Swedish knit suits.
I don't have to introduce Brother Carmichael and Brother Fogel. As my counselors, I ask them to be here as per the handbook. No punches either.
The president holds up a folder.
This paper of yours, printed in a publication called Sunstone, you know which one it is?
Well, I've written a lot of papers, Dee. President.
Call me Dee.
The president puts the file down.
How's your family anyway?
Well,
Jane?
I guess...
Exit Jane.
I guess I'll know a little better after this interview.
Ian, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or Zion as we call the restored church, Zion is like a great dynamic caravan moving through the desert on its way to its own special destiny. Calumny may defame, I think that's the phrase. Joseph Smith, wasn't it? But Zion will eventually arrive at her destination, regardless of the barking dogs along the way. Now, I don't think you're a dog, Ian. You're educated, articulate. Much more than I am. A good member of the ward and the most stimulating gospel doctrine teacher Brother Jensen has ever had. That's what he told me. But this...
He holds up the folder.
...is food for the dogs, Ian. And it reflects poorly on your family, your priesthood, and your church membership. Surely you sense how this fails you as a husband and father.
With all due respect, President Dee, I have to ask that you not use my family as a battering ram. I don't think that's fair.
This is not about fairness, Brother Flanders. This is about obedience. As the patriarch of your home, as the priesthood bearer, you have a duty to set an example to your wife and children. They cannot be saved without you. What about your temple covenants, your promises to God?
Liberals claim great toleration and complete neutrality.
I don't believe that I'm breaking my covenants. There's a hierarchy of laws. Some are more important in the situation than others.
In one faith, there's no objection. Faith in objectivity.
Obedience is the first law of heaven.
There's but one true certain teaching, that their best and brightest find.
I'm sorry, I don't believe that.
Truth is what we get by reaching out with just the carnal mind.
The president reads from the folder.
Current non-traditional approaches to the Book of Mormon scholarship are an example of religious discourse moving necessarily along a continuum of abstraction as Mormonism nears its second centennial. While many, including this author, may not believe Joseph Smith's claim that the Book of Mormon is a historical document, we can still believe it to be the inspired writings of the prophet, in short, scripture.
This preserves the integrity of the truth claims of Mormonism while allowing individual seekers the integrity of their own experience. It cracks open the whole notion of not only what the content of this scripture is, but the position that the Book of Mormon plays in Mormonism as a religious community.
Are you calling the prophet Joseph Smith a liar?
I'm calling the Book of Mormon scripture. Joseph was a product of his age and of his own private motivations. I can only speculate about his claim to have translated the Book of Mormon from Golden Plates.
It's for Tyler and Jane.
And then what did he say?
He told me that he would have to hold a court with the High Council, that I would be tried for apostasy.
Did you ever find out where President Hart came up with an obscure paper like that?
They all look at the president.
The general authorities are very concerned about keeping the doctrine pure.
And not getting bad press for the missionary program.
And this kind of thing doesn't help the missionary program, you know.
Exit President, Brother Carmichael, Brother Vogel, quickly.
Nor does it help the missionaries. Forget the program. What about the missionaries? What about my Mitchell?
Liberal saints love toleration. They permit most joys and griefs, and reserve their castigation for traditional beliefs. They have no wish to be caustic to believers old or new. They just wish we were agnostics and believed in nothing too.
Enter Jamie at the computer.
D-I-S-A-T-E-R-S. Disasters. Enter. Ready.
He pushes a button, holds a microphone, and faces a make-believe audience. The Hindenburg Report plays from the CD-ROM. Jamie lip-syncs melodramatically.
Well, here it comes, ladies and gentlemen, and what a sight it is. A thrilling one, a marvelous sight. It's practically standing still now. They dropped the ropes out of the nose of the ship, and they've been taken a hold of on the field by a number of men. The vast motors of the ship are just holding on, just enough to keep it from... Oh, it's burst into flames. Get out of the way, please. Oh, my, this is terrible. Oh, my, get out of the way, please. It's burning, bursting into flames, and it is falling. Oh, this is one of the worst. Oh, it's a terrific sight. Oh, it's crashing, bursting into flames, and it's falling on the mooring mast and all the folks between us. This is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. This is terrible. Oh, the humanity and all the passengers. A mass of flaming wreckage. Honestly, I can hardly breathe. I'm going to step inside where I can see it. It's terrible. Oh, folks, I'm going to have to stop for a moment because I've lost my voice. This is the worst thing I've ever witnessed.
Oh, the humanity!
Jamie returns to keyboard, cranks up the CD-ROM to the following line, and lip-syncs again.
It's crashing, bursting into flames, and it's falling on the mooring mast and all the folks between us. This is terrible. Oh, the humanity!
Enter Mitchell, disguised. He is wearing 1930s man's attire, which is charred and smoking.
Oh, the humanity!
He looks around.
Oh, my God.
Who are you?
Find me some blankets. We're going to need them.
Jamie pulls on a burned piece of Mitchell's sleeve.
You're burning up!
Mitchell slaps away Jamie's hand.
It's just my sleeve. I fell. I mean, I jumped.
Were you writing on the...
Jamie looks at the computer screen, then back at Mitchell.
Wow! I can't believe this. This must be like a time travel thing. How did you get here?
It just got too hot. I couldn't stay there. I had to jump. I guess I jumped.
Mitchell spots someone above him.
There's one.
Mitchell runs around, looking up, his arms outstretched.
Right this way, big fella. Come on, I got you. Come on.
What are you doing?
What does it look like I'm doing? I'm catching people.
People from the Hindenburg?
Look out! The tail, it's coming down!
Mitchell tackles Jamie into safety. A crashing sound is heard.
Is this a vision?
A vision? This is a nightmare. The worst disaster I can imagine. People riding below thousands of cubic feet of exploding gas.
You not only sound like my brother, but you look like him. How come?
You gotta wonder if there's even a chance.
You wouldn't know this, but my brother, he's on a mission in Italy. He used to tease me nonstop, but Mom says he's matured. Do you want a glass of water, a Coke?
The car, it's not going to hold much longer. Hey, up there!
He motions for someone to jump to him.
If you want to know why Mormons go on missions, Jesus told his disciples to go ye all into the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
That's nice, kid.
My brother is a part of a great army, a fishing fleet based all over the world, 40,000 of them.
Fishermen, huh? Well, I hope he's catching more than I am today.
Well, over 300,000 people a year join our church, making us the fastest-growing church in the world. But I don't really know how many are Mitch's.
Mitchell scans above him.
Do you lose any?
Huh?
Do any of them fall through the net?
Why would they want to do that?
I don't know. It seems like an awful lot of people.
Well, I don't have any statistics about that. So, do you want a Coke? You look like you're smoking.
Gotta get these people out of there. They've got to know that there's at least a chance. They'll fall to their deaths for sure if they don't jump. What's that smell?
Your skin. It's burning.
My skin is burning?
Yeah. 22 crew members, 13 passengers, and one man on the ground. 36 total died in the disaster of the Hindenburg. Captain Ernst Lehmann, the Hindenburg's commander, was one of the casualties. Though Lehmann walked away from the wreckage, he died of burns several hours later. One of the last things he said was, "Ich kann es nicht verstehen." I can't understand it.
How did you know all this?
CD-ROM. The computer. You can actually play the film of the Hindenburg disaster, including the reporter screaming. Watch this.
Jamie punches it back up. The scene is projected on the back wall of the stage in silence.
What does it feel like to have your skin burnt by hydrogen-heated flames and ash?
It hurts. But it eventually grows back, the skin I mean.
How do you know it will grow back?
I don't know. I just think it will.
Mitchell looks up above him again.
I hope it will.
So do I.
Mitchell starts to leave.
Are you leaving?
There's a mother and a girl up there. I can see the terror in their faces. If only they knew that... ...emissions.
Why do you have to do it? There's the ship's crew, all those guys that were holding the rope.
Sometimes, kid, it's just you and the big moment. Shoot, ready, aim. That's what it's about.
Well,
It was nice to meet you.
Arrivederci.
Mitchell solemnly places his hands on Jamie's head and mutters a prayer. Exit Mitchell instantly.
Goodbye.
The projection fades, lights up, enter Ian. He's checking his mail.
Hey, big fella.
There's a phone message for you, Dad. Brother Carmichael called a couple hours ago.
Did he want me to call him back?
Dad, do you have visions?
What do you mean?
Or dreams, but more than dreams.
Well, I dream all the time, I guess. What's up?
Well, I don't know, but, well, I was playing with the CD-ROM, and I guess it was nothing.
You really like this new gadget, don't you?
Yeah. I guess it's very, like, totally real, you know? Sometimes I feel like I'm there, in the computer, or like in those scenes that I can pull up. It's kind of scary. It changes things.
Okay, like what sort of things?
Well, I think I must have had a vision.
A vision?
And Mitch was there, but not really. And there was all this heat and people jumping out of the Hindenburg.
The what?
Like the Goodyear blimp, only bigger, huge. And then the tail came crashing down.
Ian sits next to Jamie.
Dad, how can you tell if you've had a vision?
Well, I imagine that you'd feel the spirit of the Lord. Do you remember Grandpa?
Grandpa Pratt?
Right, your mom's father? You've probably heard her talk about this, but when he died, your Aunt Abby, his sister, she woke up because she heard this piano music. She heard this tune. She said it was by Liszt. He's a composer.
Franz Liszt, Hungarian.
Hey, you're good.
The CD-ROM encyclopedia. It knows everything.
Anyway, this number by Liszt, it was a piece your grandmother used to play all the time before she died. She was very musical.
Did I ever meet her?
Oh, no. She died when your mother was just a girl. 7, I think. And then your grandpa married Sophie.
And they weren't very happy together, right?
Well, let's just say that she was pretty hard on your grandpa and on his kids. She had an axe to grind, I guess. So Aunt Abby heard this real familiar tune, and she got up to go downstairs to see who was on the piano. And that's when she saw your grandfather at the foot of her four-poster bed. He was just standing there, in white, kind of airy, like you could see through him.
Was his skin burning?
His skin?
Was there any smoke? Did it smell funny?
Well, I don't think so. Aunt Abby didn't say anything about that. She did say that your grandmother had been there in the house. That's why there was the music. And that she was there to fetch your grandpa home. You see, Grandpa had died that same night. Sophie woke up the next morning and your grandpa was dead.
Was that a vision? Did Aunt Abby have a vision?
Well, I think you could call it that.
I saw a stranger. He was dressed funny, like from olden days.
There he was, at the foot of her bed with that gape-toothed grin of his.
He made me feel like everything might be okay.
Are you upset about something?
No, I'm fine. He was just trying to break their fall.
Whose fall?
The people that were up there. But most of them, they wouldn't jump. It was really scary.
Looking at his watch.
Listen, I've got to return that call. Are you going to be okay, son?
Sure, Dad. I'll be okay.
Ian turns to go.
Good.
Dad.
Ian turns back.
Sam Peterson says that you're an apostate. Tonight at Scouts, he said that our family isn't going to be a forever family. I think Sam's an idiot anyway. I thought that maybe I could burn his house down, but then people would just feel sorry for him, huh?
Burn his house down?
Sometimes it's just you and the moment, Dad.
Summon all the members who have done research on the doctrines and the history of our church. Who collected journals or whose thoughts seem odd, mention plural marriage or taught that Adam is a god, excommunicate them one by one, or disfellowship them if it's such fun. Church tribunals get given from above, even when in error they are courts of love.
Lights up on Jane, enter Debbie.
Jamie said that you wanted to see me.
Come over here and sit down, honey.
I want to stand here.
Mr. Grosbeck called today to say that you haven't been in school for 3 days straight.
I've been busy.
I'm sure you have. But you haven't been in class. Dory says that Melissa saw you smoking at the Exeter Diner during school the other day.
Yeah, Melissa is a freak.
And that you haven't been to Young Women's at the ward for 2 months.
What business is it of hers?
Dory's just concerned about you, Debbie. She only told me because she cares about you. Just like your father and I.
Oh, right. Everything Sister Kavanaugh ever hears gets sent into this, like, ward orbit. She's like a rubber launch pad.
Like it or not, Debbie, people judge other people by their cover.
Not everyone.
I worry about Jamie. He sees his big sister thumbing her nose at school,
I'm planning on going back tomorrow, okay? I know it's hard to believe, but Kate and I were actually working on a project. It's finished. Don't worry, Ma. I'm going to graduate.
Fine. I'm glad.
Can I go now?
I know that you find church boring, not very hip.
I can't believe this.
And I'm not so sure your father and I really care that you smoke. But not if even taking into account the word of wisdom, Debbie, it is just so bad for you.
It's my demographic, Ma. The Surgeon General's real worried about it.
It worries me, honey, that you feel like you have to be vulgar around Brother MacGyver.
Look, Dad already talked to me about it, okay?
Yes, I know. But, Debbie, I hope you'll understand when I say this, that I have your best interests at heart. Really, I do.
Okay, girls, not your troubles.
And there's something that your father wouldn't have told you. I know that you have a good heart, that you don't mean any harm, but your father is in a very precarious situation right now. At the moment, he's being forced to defend his very membership in the church.
I am so sick of hearing the church this and the church that. I'm going to become a Buddhist when I'm 18.
Fine. But your family is Mormon. Four generations.
Dr. Pratt's side. I know. From Daniel Pratt to Papa Orson's arduous trek across the plains. I've heard it 1,000 times. Just barely figured out what arduous means.
Now is not the time to sow your oats.
Just exercising my free agency, Ma. Or did you forget that that's why God sent us to Earth?
You can exercise all the free agency you want to, little lady, but I will not let you hand ammunition to your father's detractors, who are looking for anything they can to pin on him, to discredit him.
What good is the church if you have to hide who you really are, how you really feel from it, from them?
We are not hiding anything, Debbie! There are things that I cannot tell you, that you can't know right now. It's critical that you do the right thing for the family's sake, for Jamie's sake. And I think I know you know what the right thing is.
Maybe I don't. What about the right thing for me? Who are you anyway? The church lady?
Then I'll help you out a little since I'm your mother. And since I've promised to bring you up in righteousness.
That's a joke.
You seem to enjoy, for a reason that completely escapes me, bouncing about town, smoking Lucky Strikes, and flaunting your pierced navel to members of the ward.
So what?
I can understand that you need to rebel against your mother, since apparently I am the control guru of the century, or so we're told. But your father is embarrassed. No, he is terribly hurt by your total disregard for what's happening to him right now. So, if you can't behave yourself for your mother, then at least take some pity on the man who's fed and clothed you for the past 17 years.
This isn't about Dad. This is about you looking good. I heard what you said to Sister Kavner on the phone. You said that God would never allow anything, anyone, including the prophet, to lead the church astray. Well, where the goddamn hell does that put Dad?
Not in this house.
Why not excommunicating? He's fighting the infallible church.
Jane strikes Debbie.
You can't use that kind of language here! Not when Jamie's in the house! You must never, never allow this to happen to us again! No one must know about this!
Exit Jane, then eventually Debbie. Mitchell, still in his burning costume, steps forward and conducts the choir, lights up full and very white.
Excommunicate them one by one, or disfellowship them is such fun. Church tribunals given from above, even when in error there are courts of love.
There will now be a 5-minute pause.